All right, take your Bible. You got your Bible? Praise God. Get that Bible and let's open it up to the book of Titus. Go to the book of Titus. We're going to read one verse of Scripture this morning. In the book of Titus, chapter number 2 and verse number 10, we'll read that. You won't have to stand because I'm going to read one verse and read it twice. Pray and bring you the message I believe needs to be preached today. God, give this and put it on my heart, and I pray that the Lord might help us with it. Now, I've preached out of verses 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 before. Never preached out of verse number 10, but we'll look at verse number 10, and we'll pray that God give us exactly what we need. Amen. I'm glad that I can hear something from God. God don't speak to me. He's not going to speak to you either in the message at me, that is. He may speak to you outside, amen, and in other areas of your life, and certainly He does to the Spirit of God. But if God don't give me a message from this pulpit, then it won't be, you won't get a message either from this pulpit, amen. So God has to give it to me to give to you, and I pray that God will give us exactly what we need today. I don't know your spiritual condition. I don't know nothing hardly about you. I see you're sitting here, and that's about it. Amen. And some of the things I know about you, I don't need to know. Some of the things I wish I didn't know. And some of the things, amen, I don't know, I'm glad I don't know. Amen. Now, I hope I didn't mess you up. But anyhow, Titus chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible said, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now let's read it again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Now let's pray. Father, I pray that You might bless and touch, stir and move, Lord, challenge and strengthen our hearts today. God, we've come to You realizing that we're not anything. Lord, we could be better if we just follow You with all our heart. God, help us this morning to get everything out of our way and off of our mind. Lord, we've come from the world sitting in the house of God in heavenly places. And I pray now, Father, You'd speak to us in a real way. May we listen to You. And Father, may we take a heed to what's said. And Father, if there's something in our heart and life that's not right, help us, dear God, this morning to be man enough or woman enough to bow before You and confess that You might be able to use us for Your glory and honor, that we might be a vessel that can point others to the Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and encourage. We'll give You the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Now, I want to talk about a message this morning, something like this. Adorn the doctrine of God. You see that down there in verse number 10? Adorn the doctrine of God. We want to talk about that. Now, first of all, I want to ask you, are you purloining? Amen. God said, not purloining. You said, preacher, I don't know where I'm purloining or not. Amen. A lot of times we'll read our Bible and we'll overlook some words and we'll just go on down the road like we think we know them, and sometimes we don't even know what it's talking about and not even take time to understand what God is speaking to us about. I believe if you take your Bible, you'll have a pretty good, well-rounded education if you start from Genesis and go to Revelation and try to look up all these words and find out what God's speaking with and do a word study in your Bible. I believe when you get through, you'll be able to speak more intelligently about God anyhow. Amen. That's right. They take you down to school and the teacher makes you say all these words and look them up. And I used to call the teacher and I say, what does so-and-so? She said, look it up. Amen. I quit asking. I don't want to go look them up. Amen. And most of the time we read our Bible, we don't want to look it up. Are you purloining? That word purloining this morning, here's what it means. It means theft. It means stealing something. It means copying, really, in this sense. And it means that we're pretending. Now, there's a little word that they call plagiarism. Anybody know what that is? I know a few of you do. It means if you copy something, write something down, and put it down as yours, what you've done, you stole somebody else's words. That's what you've done. That's called plagiarism. Now, as we look in this thing, I'm asking, not purloining. In other words, are you pretending? Are you copying? Are you pretending to be something that you're not? Are you pretending? Or are you real? That's what Paul is saying to Titus here. Not purloining. That's what he said. Not purloining, but showing, he said, all good fidelity. What's fidelity? That means faithfulness. Amen. Being faithful to God. Purloining means pretending. Are you pretending this morning? Now, in chapter number 2, verse number 10, God's saying, I want you to do something through Paul. He said, I want you to adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. You see that? In all things. That means wherever you are, in everything that you're doing, God wants you to adorn the doctrine of God. Now, what does that word adorn mean? It means to dress. It means to decorate. It means to display yourself. Amen. In other words, you put yourself out there, you decorate yourself, you adorn yourself, you address yourself in the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So that when people look on you, they can know that you've been walking and talking with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Them disciples, you said, I don't believe we can do that in these days. Yes, we can. I remember in the Word of God, in the book of Acts, the little disciple boys came out there and they said, don't you preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And they kept a preaching. They carried them off down there and whipped them and brought them back out. And the Bible said they rejoiced that they'd suffered a little persecution for the cause of Christ. Amen. Because, amen, that they have been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remind you of in the Old Testament how that Moses went up on the mount and when he was with God for a little while on the mount, 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible said he came back down and his face shone like an angel, and he had to put a veil on his face. They knew that he had been with God. I want to ask you this morning, are you purloining? Are you just copying and not just trying to display yourself as something that you're not? Or are you really walking for God in fidelity, being faithful to God, and adorning yourself in the doctrine of God that people can know that you're walking with God and talking with God and living for God? Amen. Or do they label you as not being real and true? Amen. Now, I believe what we need to do and what he's trying to give us in a nutshell is to live and adorn ourselves in a holy life. That scares Baptists. I preach on this word holy a lot. Amen. And I believe we ought to be holy. Amen. That's right. You said, preacher, do you believe we ought to be holy? I believe we ought to be more holy than what we are. I believe we can be more holy than what we are. I believe if we want to, we could be more holy than we live. And brave, amen, I believe God wants us to. Now I'm going to give you some reasons and some things that you can't live holy or some things that's going to incorporate in your life if you do live holy. Amen. First of all, I want to say you can't live holy if you've never been saved. Amen. You can't live holy if you've never been born again. Amen. You can try it. You can plaster it on. You can purloin it. Amen. You'll get that word before we leave here today. Purloining. You can pretend. You can copy somebody. You can put these things out and you can steal what somebody else has got, so to speak. And you can be a thief, amen, and try to live like they live. But I'm saying to you this morning, the only way that you can live a holy life is, number one, to be born again by the Spirit of the living God. You believe that? Now, I believe today in our churches what we're trying to do is get people to live right that don't know anything about being right. Amen. I believe we're trying to make dead men walk alive. You can't do that. Amen. We're trying to make zombies live. Spiritually speaking, that's what we're trying to do. If you're dead in trespasses and sin, if you're lost and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you cannot live right. You can quit some old habits. You can quit going some certain places. You can quit doing some certain things. You can quit talking a certain way. Well, you can just do all that and you can paint it up, amen, and pretend and you can say, hey, look what I'm doing. And you can quit doing this and start putting tithes in the offering plate and everything else and make everybody think that you're that. But listen, down deep on the inside, you cannot live holy. Amen. You know what we're doing? Amen. We're like what the Bible said in the book of Peter. Well, we're trying to paint and clean up things. We're trying to paint the outside of the sepulcher. Amen. But on the inside, we're full of dead men's bones that Jesus said. But Peter said that what we're doing is we can take an old sow
that's used to washing herself and watering in the mire, and we can bring her out of that old pit of old ungodly looking mess and out of the slop of yard, and bring her up there and hose her down real good and put some soap on her and clean her up real good that she's spick and span. Put a little deodorant on her and make her smell good, and put a hat on her head and a ribbon on her tail. And brother, guess what? You turn her loose and she'll go right back to the slop yard and get right back in wallered in the mire. Why? Because she's a sow. She's a pig. She's a hog. Her nature's not been changed. Amen. Now if somehow you could make that old hog something different, she wouldn't go back to that slop. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what God has to do to the sinner. Amen. We can paint you up. We can put you in the house of God every time the door's open. We can make you look like you're something. You can smell good and look good walking down the street. You can talk right, walk right. Amen. But down on the inside, if you ever get the chance and the opportunity, right back out into sin you go, because you're a sinner. Amen. Makes a difference, don't it? Now you can't make holy people out of sinners that are lost and undone without God. They have to have faith in Christ. A holy life comes from that. Amen. Brother, we can control our tongue. We can control our temper. But I'll tell you this, one of these days, brother, one of these days, if you just try to control that, it's going to turn back on you. Number two, you cannot be holy in the life of God and adorn yourself to be looking like God and walk like God if you haven't been saved. But secondly, you cannot, amen, get to the place that you disallow the Word of God to rule your life. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, the second thing in your life after being saved to be living holy is to let this book begin to rule you. Amen. Somebody said, I don't want to be ruled by nobody. I don't want to be told what to do. You know, down at the house, the kids get tired of mom and daddy telling me what to do. I'll be glad when I get grown where they won't tell me what to do anymore. And they get to that little age and they go down there and they get them a job. And they get on that job and they say, get the broom and sweep that over there. Amen. And they say, I want you to pick that trash up over there. And they'll look at this and say, I will be glad one of these days when I get the place. I won't be told what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. Amen. That'll never happen in this lifetime. Amen. So guess what? A little boy or girl look around and they say, I think I'll just get married. And so they pick them out a marriage partner. They get married. And of course, in these days, I said a marriage partner. They don't get them a wife or a husband. They just get them a marriage partner. They go to the altar and they say, hey, what we do at the altar is, well, if I don't like him, if I don't like her, I'll just get rid of her and get me another. And that's the way they go to the marriage altar these days. Knowing good, amen, that ain't what my daddy taught me. That ain't what my preacher taught me. That ain't what my Bible taught me. Bible said death do us part, amen. And I believe my daddy meant that, and I believe my Bible meant that, and I believe my God meant that. And guess what? Amen. Well, they go get married, and about that time, he gets up one morning, she tells him what to do. She gets up one morning, he tells her what to do. And they said, I don't want to be told what to do the rest of my life. Just get used to it. You said, I think what I'll do now is I'll go join the church and I'll just be a preacher. And I can tell everybody what to do. Amen. Guess what? You become a preacher. And then the next thing you know, heaven starts speaking to you and said, this is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to do. God said, I want you to do. Hey, I don't care what walk of life you go to, somebody's going to tell you what to do. And brother, you might as well buckle down and let the Word of God tell you what to do right now, because that's the only way you can live and adorn the life of God in your life, is to let this book have full control. Somebody said, well, preacher, I like part of it, just don't like it all. Well, I say, amen. There's a lot of it I don't like. I have to abide by it. Amen. I found out a long time ago there's a lot of things in life that you just have to put up with that you don't like. You know why I don't like some of it? Because it gets to picking on me. It gets to working on me. There's things I like to do, and the Word of God says, you can't do that anymore. And I said, well, I don't like that part of it. Well, you got your choice. You can either follow it, or you can either obey it. And I found out a long time ago, it's better not to argue with the Word of God. It's better just pick it up and take it and go, hey, if you'll fall in line with it, after a while, I'll tell you what will happen. That you did not like, Brother God will put a love in your heart for it. And down the road, you'll say, hey, why didn't I do this before now? There's some old habits in my life I had to shed off. Amen. And there'll probably be some old habits I'll have to shed off in the future as God begins to deal with my heart. Amen. And I said, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to quit that. I don't want to stop going there. I don't want to quit doing this. But then after a while, God convinced me. Amen. And the ultimatum came down and God put it in my heart. I quit those things. I looked back and said, hey, that was ruining my life to start with. And I didn't realize that. So there's nothing you'll give up for God but what won't bless you. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, I ain't going to give that up. I ain't going to quit that. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, I tried to convince myself there wasn't nothing wrong with it. It's strange. It depends on where you get your information. Amen. You find your jack-legged preacher, he will tell you everything's all right. That's right. If you don't like what one preacher says, find you another preacher. You keep looking around, you'll find a preacher after a while to tell you what you're doing is okay. Now sit down and join with him. Amen. Then you won't feel me. Then after a while, he'll get a little streak up him somewhere, and he's liable to say something you don't like. And then you're going to have to hunt you another preacher. And he's going to say something you don't like, and you've got to hunt you another preacher. Amen. And if you come here every service, every Sunday, and you agree with everything I preach, if you agree with everything I preach, and you love everything I preach, and you don't see anything wrong in anything I preach, listen, I'm missing the mark. Because I ain't skinned your hide. Amen. If I skin your hide, sometimes God wants to pour a little salt. You know what happens to salt when you pour it on a new fresh wound? Whew. God has a way sometimes of skinning a hide and then pouring salt in. You know what he's doing? He's getting your attention. And a preacher, I told a fellow the other day, I said, and I've used this before, I said, it's just like some of these preachers are going, you never hear nothing. They say, that preacher always, I love to hear everything he's got to say. I said, yeah, you go over there, and the preacher does, and you throw a rock down a tin can alley, and you don't hear no dogs bark. That's about the way it is in most of the churches. They don't hit nothing. And so, in our modern churches, they don't do much of that. But the old-fashioned preacher rears back and throws another rock. Because us preachers know bad things happen in the alleys. We know them alleys ain't good. And so he rears back and throws another rock and you don't hear nothing. Preacher said, well, everything must be fine. No. He just ain't hit nothing yet. He throws another rock. And after a while, one goes, guess what? You got one. And if I can preach and not hit anybody, I ain't doing my job. By the way, I'm not listening to God because God knows where you live anyhow. But I believe we'll never live to adorn the presence and the doctrine of God in our lives if people see us to be holy unless, number one, we're saved, and number two, we allow the Word of God to take full control of us and rule our life. I'm not talking about talk to us. I'm talking about rule our life. Number three, we'll never get to the place to adorn the doctrine of God on our lives and in our lives until we get to the place that we allow the Spirit of God to lead us. This is a simple message. God put the Holy Ghost inside you. If you've been saved, if you haven't been saved, you don't know nothing I'm talking about. You don't know about it. But God put the Holy Spirit in me when I got saved. He put the Holy Spirit in you when you got saved. And the Holy Spirit this morning,
tells us what we can and cannot do. And the Holy Spirit will lead us. You said, preacher, there's some times in my life I don't know which way to go. Ask the Spirit of God. I said, sometimes, preacher, I've prayed and couldn't find what to do. Then don't do anything. If you never get lead in the Spirit of God to do something, don't do it. Don't do it unless you've got full assurance that heaven's on your side when you do it. If heaven's on your side and you do it, I want you to know right now, you don't have to worry about it. God will fight your battles when you get there. But you know what's happening? We're having to fight some of our own battles all alone. I'll tell you why. Because we as God's people have went ahead and done things hard-headed, overbearing, run out and done things, and we know good and well we shouldn't have done them things. Amen. Guess what? It's because we went against the will of God. Now, I want to give you something. God tells you to do these things. I could just tell you what it says, but I want you to read it. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 7. 2 Corinthians, chapter 7. I used to just quote these scriptures and go on. But in my later years, I believe you need to see it in black and white. Amen. It's amazing to me. You read the newspaper and you'll believe it. Amen. You'll read a novel and get involved in that. And take it to heart. Why can't you read the Bible? You get the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, I want you to look at the next little phrase. Let us, God's people, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Notice what he says here in the next words. Perfecting what? Holiness, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God has given you a command to perfect holiness in your life. Now, God didn't say, if you feel like it, try to perfect holiness in your life or in the fear of God. He didn't say, every once in a while, perfect holiness. He said, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, every child of God ought to be holy. And you ought to practice that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. Somebody said, preacher, this is a Baptist church. Yeah, Baptists ought to be holy. Amen. We've let little denominations ruin our Bible doctrines. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be. What's that next word? Say it. Perfect. Perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love of God and the God of love and peace shall be with you. He said, be perfect. Using the word means mature in heart. But perfect. He said we ought to be perfect in holiness. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. I like to hear them pages rattle. Amen. That means you're not asleep on me. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto what? Perfection. God wants us to go on. You said, can you be perfect, preacher? I've never been perfect, neither have you. But God wants us to strive toward perfection. You said, preacher, I'm not perfect. But can I just, I want to bust that little bubble you're in. Can I just give you some little simple something to help you a little bit? Do you believe this morning that you could be more perfect than what you are? Amen. Do you really believe that you could be more perfect than what you are? Amen. Then the Bible said that we are to go on toward perfection. God said, don't stay there. Go ahead. Amen. Most of you done throwed up your hands 20 years ago and said, ha, I can't be perfect no way. Ain't nobody perfect. And that's the reason you're so miserable. You can't stand. Amen. I've never seen a perfect preacher but one, Jesus.
I've never seen a perfect church member, period.
Amen. Does that mean I ought to quit?
Does that mean that we ought to stay at it and keep it going? Hey, maybe we might be the first one. You said, preacher, we'll never make it till we get to the other side. But let's work on it.
I can't be perfect. Ain't nothing to be trying, preacher. That ain't what God said.
So instead of working on it, I'll just purloin it. I'll pretend it.
Amen. That's right. That's what he said in the book of Titus.
Now, salvation, God has a work. I believe in a Trinity. I believe in a triune Godhead. You know exactly what I'm saying. I'm a Trinitarian, if you want to call me any kind of name. I believe that there's one God. One God only. One God. But that one God is manifest in three persons. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's why I call myself a Trinitarian. I believe in the Trinity. The Bible teaches the Trinity. Let us make man in our image, God said. Who's us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, that's Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Salvation is in the mind of God the Father. God orchestrated salvation. God designed salvation. God set the plan down for salvation. God said, I'm going to redeem man. I'm going to save man. Had God not wanted to save man, He could have wiped him off the face of the earth the moment that he sinned against God and eaten the fruit in the garden. But God said, I made him as a free moral agent to choose and reject. He's disobeyed me. But I'm going to redeem him. God the Father instituted and organized and set up the plan of God, the plan of salvation. God the Son, what did He do? He redeemed. Amen. He became the atonement. He became the mediator. He became the intercessor. He's the go-between. There's salvation in none other but in Jesus Christ. He's the one that paid the price. God orchestrated. God the Son paid the price. You see the plan of God? And then God, the Spirit, sanctifies the people. Not only did the Spirit of God sanctify, but He led us to Christ. It was the Spirit of God that preached through the preacher or the gospel tract, or the scripture somebody gave you that pricked your heart and caused you to recognize you as a sinner. It was the Spirit of God that invited you to the throne of grace. It was the Spirit of God that introduced you to Christ. It was the Spirit of God that birthed you into the family of God. Except you be born of the water and of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God done His job. But then after He saved you, God the Father orchestrated, Jesus Christ did the job, and the Holy Spirit introduced you to it and brought you in the family of Christ. All three work together as one God, and now the Holy Spirit's taken your life and said, I want to set you apart and make you different from the rest of the world. And that's the crowd I'm going to use from this day forward. Now when God wants something done in this world, He don't go to the White House. He don't go to the Senate. He don't go to the House of Representatives. He don't go to the United Nations. He don't go to the Security Councils. He goes to the church where the people of God are. He's introduced us to Christ, and He's gave us the gospel, the greatest message to ever be told, to deliver the gospel to the entire world. We've got the biggest job that anybody could ever have. The church has got a bigger job than the government of any country.
We've got the authority of a higher power. We've got God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost on our side. And God said, go ye. And our job is to do that. But God wants to send holy people to an unholy world. That's why we need to adorn ourselves in the doctrine of God here. Amen. But you cannot adorn yourself in the doctrine of God unless, number one, you're saved. Number two, you allow the Word of God to control you. And number three, allow the Spirit of God to lead you. And then you cannot adorn the doctrine of God on you until you have the right view of sin. The right view of sin. Sin must be forgiven. If you've got any sin in your life, it must be confessed. It must be forgiven. You cannot this morning have the holiness of God shining on you and adorned in the holiness of God unless there's sin put away. God will not, and I said this in Sunday school, God will not embrace sin in your life. God will not hug you up and come close to you when sin's in your life. Sin puts a barrier between you and God. Now I'm talking to born again believers now. Listen to me. Sin has to be dealt with. You have to be changed. Amen. That's the work of God. God does it. You've got to do more than being whitewashed. You've got to be washed white. We whitewash, we're purloining. We're pretending. We wash white, we're real and genuine. Good, what's that word? Fidelity. Amen. When I was a little boy, they used to talk about it. And of course, they'd say so-and-so's husband left because of infidelity. And I didn't know what that was for a long time. Wasn't faithful, that's what it was. Run around on them. That's what happened. And God says in the Word of God that we ought to have some fidelity about it. We ought to be faithful to God every day of our life. Not purloining. Not putting on. Not pretending. Not trying to copy. Not trying to imitate. Some of us are imitators. Amen. Some of you make it. You get your good job in Hollywood. They act out there. And we've got church folks that act. Make good actors. Amen. Sin has to be dealt with. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 6, I believe it's verse 5, every imagination of the hearts is only evil continually. That's where they were. God said we got to get that right idea. That we sometimes try to tell God that we're something. Have you ever tried to convince God that you're all right? I've tried it. It don't work. Amen. You're as transparent as you can be. God will see right through you. Amen. They said that's what the president wanted to be, is transparent. And I said he is. I could see right through him. Amen. But God can see through you. God can see right through you. He sure can. He'd see right through you. You ain't got nothing hid on God. God knows about you. You're rotten to the core. You say, I'm a pretty good fella. My wife has a good husband. My husband has a good wife. That might be your speaking. That's on your slate. That's your book you're writing. But God said that there was no soundness from your feet to your head. God said, your mouth is impure. God said your mind is impure. God said your feet go in the wrong direction. Your hands do the wrong thing. Your heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. And desperately wicked. God said you're unholy. You're unsound. You said, oh, preacher, I'm better than that. No, you ain't. Amen. You ain't nothing. You said, well, preacher, how come people can do things for God then? It ain't you. It's Him doing it.
Your rotten flesh could not and would not and will not do anything. God has to get control of it.
Well, I'm producing the body. No, you're not. You're causing a hindrance. You said, how do you know? Because you wouldn't be bragging about it. Somebody's yielded to God, don't go around bragging about it. Oh, I love God and I'm believing for God and I'm doing everything for the Lord. I watched that crowd. I'd hide my silverware if I drove up in the yard. They're liable to steal it. You hear me? They don't go around bragging about what they've done for God. They say like Paul, I'm the least. I'm a chiefest among sinners. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. But you cannot adorn that glory of God, holiness in your life, if you don't have the right view of sin. And you cannot have that glory on you, the presence of God on you, and adorned. That adorned means dressed in. They look at you that way. You cannot unless you're sold out to God 100%. You know what you got to do? Take your hands off your life. Take your hands off your life. I just beg you this morning, take your hands off of your own life. Some of you can't do that because you... I'll tell you how I improve it. Because you ain't got your hands off everybody else's life. You can't get your hands off everybody else's life. You ain't going to get your hands off yours. Amen. Some of you parents trying to make your kids just live right, live right, live right. Some of us preachers trying to make you just live right, live right, live right. I can't make you. If I get my hands off of you, God can do something with you. And I got to get my hands off of me so that God can do something with me. Amen. You say, what do I do? Have concern. Yeah, have concern. You don't have concern for, but you ain't going to beat it into them. I learned something a long time ago. I wish I'd learned it a lot sooner. When I first started preaching, I thought I was God's ramrod. I thought I was the rod in His hand. I cracked a whip. Everywhere I went, I popped them on the head. I kicked them. I stomped them. I made merchandise of them. Sometimes I get pretty rough now, but I'm not working on you. I'm working on that sin in your life. I love you. Amen. That's why I preach to you. But I said, oh, so-and-so, I tried to make them. I just wanted them to live right. I wanted them to live right. Catch them in the wrong place and try to make them live right. And I come to the place one in my life, hey, I can't do that. God is the only one that can change them. And if God change you, so yeah, I've got a few of you on my list right now. You're right, Todd. Pray, Lord, they need a touch. They need a touch. I'm just waiting any time to watch you change. Now, if you let me have control, I'll come down your house and change a few things. But it wasn't laced. I'd come down and clean your house out. You just go back and buy more. But God ever cleaned your house out. You'll be different. You come in one day. Have you ever seen somebody who said, boy, that's sure been a change made in him. He ain't the same person. Have you ever seen people like that? Yeah, they said that about you, and they said he got religion. And that might have been all you got. Because you're purloining. But if you feel good, guess what happens? It changes you from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. What you used to believe, you don't believe anymore. What you used to like, you don't like anymore. What you used to hate, you now love. What you used not to want to do, now you want to do. Isn't that amazing? Somebody said we change our old age. We do, a lot of things. There's foods now that I'll eat I used not to eat. Used to be foods I hated, I'll eat them now. Some of the foods that I used to like, I don't like no more. A change. Well, the same thing happens when God gets on the inside of your soul. He changes things. And He puts a desire in it for it. Well, let's read this. Not purloining. What's that mean? Not pretending. Not putting on a show. Not copying. But showing all good fidelity. Showing all good faithfulness. It's required of stewards to be found faithful. That they may what? Adorn the doctrine of God. our Savior in all things. You can't adorn it, purloin it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. There's three words that you need to clear up while they're coming. Here's three words that you need to learn a little bit about. One is regeneration. When God regenerates you and transforms you and makes you a brand new creature, that's a Bible term. That's one of the doctrines there that you'll adorn. Secondly, there's a word called justification. God justifies you. In other words, He makes you as if you just never committed sin, just as if you'd never sinned. God forgives you and justifies you. And then third, He sanctifies you. God regenerates you, justifies you, and then He sanctifies you. Sets you apart for His use and begins to use you. If you ain't never got apart away from that regeneration, you'll never get at the place of sanctification. How about it this morning? Let's stand. 354 in the blue book. 354 in the blue book. You got to be fully surrendered. Are you fully surrendered as a child of God? Have you given everything to Him? Have you gave it all to Him? Have you took your hands off your life? Have you let Him have full control? Is He in charge? Is the Word of God controlling you? Is the Spirit of God leading you? How about it? All to Thee, my blessed Savior, surrender all. Sing another verse. How about it?